Well, I'm excited to share with you today. I just felt in my heart after spending some time just researching about Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Bell Graham. And I just felt in my heart like I wanted to, you know, just come before you on Mother's Day and share about her life, but also share about Christ. And so it's a both and sermon this morning. It's a sermon about our Lord's sacrifice and how he lived his life, and also how Ruth Graham lived her life and was such an example of Christ and a wonderful mother. And so the title on my sermon today is A Fully Abandoned Life. And we're going to be looking in Philippians 2, verse 1 through 4, if you have your Bibles. So in these verses, we're going to look today and discover the beauty and the joy of a fully abandoned life. When we abandon our own desires and seek the Lord's will, we will be filled with greater purpose. How many of you know that? That we, when we give our hearts, when we give our desires to Jesus, he gives us that greater purpose in life. And you can see that in the Graham's life. You can see that they gave everything for his evangelistic ministry. And through that, many lives were changed. And they were able to change the world. And we're going to see that in the examples I'm going to share with you today through this book that we're going to give you, moms and women. And so, speaking as a mom, I can tell you it's not an easy job, as most of you ladies know, raising children. And yesterday, I went to the store, and we decided, oh, well, we should probably get our mothers a Mother's Day card, right? Kind of going to be late, but, you know. So we started looking through the cards, and I found little phrases like this. Qualifications, hours, 24/7, very little pay, no vacation time. You don't ever get a day off from being a mom. You know, so these are all these statements, you know, that were in these cards, and you're just like, oh, yep. But, and then, you know, some of them had the music, like, you know, Superwoman song or something. So you don't ever get a day off, but is it worth being a mom? Yes. Is it one of the most important jobs you'll ever have? Yes. I mean, you're raising children to know how to live their life, how to function, how to go about daily life. It's very important. And so this passage in Philippians, Paul speaks of Christ's sacrifice, right? And we know that his sacrifice was so great. And we know that our mothers, their daily sacrifice is great, right? Because we have to give up our needs, our wants sometimes to feed our children. Well, I'm really hungry too, but they're hungry more, so I'm going to make them food first, right? And have a cold meal. So a lot of times we have to make those simple sacrifices. But Christ, he made the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his all. And so on Mother's Day, I want to challenge all of us mothers to live a fully abandoned life for Jesus. And as we honor Jesus' sacrifice for what he's done for us through this sermon today, Paul, in the first two verses of Philippians, so if we look to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, we're going to look at this passage. And so, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So obviously here, Paul is talking about unity. And the Philippian church, we can see that they were showing this example. And so here on Mother's Day, I want to emphasize how important unity is. And we can see that in an example such as marriage, right? Unity is very important in marriage for you to stay together, to be united in the decisions you make with your children, in the decisions you make where you live, what you do, everything is important, or it is important to have unity. So, for example, John and I, we are unified, right? We make decisions together. We have to work on important matters and the vision God has for our life. We have to constantly be in prayer about that and what God has planned for this church, for this community, and for our children. And that is very important to us. And I'm sure that as you are parents, that is very important to you as well. So unity doesn't mean that we always agree on things, right? As a husband and wife, there are lots of disagreements. You know, sometimes you butt heads, all right? And you just have to walk away and come back later and talk about it, all right? But that doesn't mean that the commitment that you made with your husband or your wife is still not there. It's there. That's what holds you together. So we are the body of Christ, and Paul is talking to one of the most beloved churches. So whether we are talking to one of the most dysfunctional churches in the New Testament, like the Corinthian church, or we are talking, or he is talking about the most sacrificial church, the one in Philippi, Paul here talks about unity and the need for the body of Christ. So if your marriage is healthy and whole, here God is using Paul and myself to encourage you to keep that unity in marriage. Or if your marriage is on the rocks, here is this divine call to be unified. To be unified. If you're not married, I want you to think of your mom today. And if she was, or maybe she isn't even, if she was a great example to you of Christian unity, I want you to think about her. So one of the most well-respected couples in recent history is Ruth and Billy Graham. And as we know, they have gone to be with the Lord. This morning, you ladies will walk away with this book. It's called The Footprints of a Pilgrim. And what's neat about this book is it is a very poetic book, but it also has an amazing story of her life, filled with lots of touching moments, scary moments, humorous moments. And we're going to talk about some of those moments today. So Billy and Ruth were united, but they were what were the ingredients that brought them this lifelong unity? The same ingredients we just read: the comfort, the fellowship of the Spirit, affection, compassion, unity in the Spirit, intent on one purpose: showing Christ to others. And I'm sure, how many of you have heard of Billy Graham's ministry? Yeah, there's not many people that have not heard about his ministry. It was very powerful what the Lord did through him. It is important to know that you are loved. You are valued. We need to say more to our moms, but you need to believe it. How many of us know as moms, sometimes we struggle with that? That belief that we are important, that what we do matters. Sometimes there's that struggle. Am I doing it right? Lord, am I doing it well? But you need to believe it. We can put up a shield of inadequacies at times, which deflects these comments. And this can stem from long-held feelings of low self-worth. Ruth knew who she was in Christ. Her parents were Christian missionaries to China. And I think that was really interesting because I teach for VIP kids and I work with Chinese children every morning and I teach them English. And my English is a little rough today, but most days I work on a lot of pronunciation and I can sometimes tell that the parents, I don't know if you guys have ever tried to help your kid pronounce a word and they keep saying it wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong. And Sometimes when I go over, because I'm very patient, and I'll just keep going until they get the word right. I can hear the parents in the background, you know, celebrate, celebrate, you know, because they'll say calibrate instead of celebrate sometimes. So it's very fun to just wake up every morning and get to do that and to see the Chinese culture, to see the Chinese children. And they're so adorable, and I love doing it. But the time that Ruth was in China, her parents were missionaries there, and she was raised there. She was born there, actually. And she was born in 1920. At the time, the Chinese looked at even medical missionaries, because her father was a doctor, as foreign devils. That's what they looked at them as. Western doctors were viewed as monsters who made medicine from dead baby eyes and turned Chinese bones into gold for themselves. A missionary doctor was sought out only as a last resort. But her parents served faithfully a people who didn't like them. How many of you have been to a place where you're serving, you're doing something, and you know you're not wanted? It feels uncomfortable. You feel uncomfortable. You feel out of your skin. Like, maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe I should leave. But guess what? They stayed in China. And you know what? The situation wasn't better either. Because in China, there was civil war going on right then. And so there was horrible things. Ruth said that she would hear gunshots at night before she would go to bed. And so despite all this opposition, Ruth's dad did some pretty amazing things. There was a story about a woman that weighed 180 pounds. And she decided to come to her father. And she was pushing her stomach in a wheelbarrow to the hospital. And he realized it was a tumor, so he removed the tumor. And after he removed the tumor, she weighed 90 pounds. So she went from 180 pounds to 90 pounds. So he did some pretty amazing things for people's physical health. But obviously, they were more concerned about their spiritual health. Her parents were examples to her about Christian unity. Although they faced opposition from the outside, the family, during most of Ruth's youth, China was locked in this bloody war. So the nationalist Chinese leader and communist rebels all around were marching troops, mysterious deaths, kidnapping, bandits in the night, gunfire, air raids, warlords, dangers all around. But China was still considered her home. I share this with you because unity in our home is important when there's chaos around us. We need that place to come, to feel at home. And we will see this in Ruth's life. Because Ruth wanted to make a home for Billy when he would come home and come away from his preaching engagements. She wanted to have a safe place for him. And not just a safe place for him, right? Because as we know, when fame comes, so comes people wanting to take pictures, invade my privacy, right? So she wanted to create that safe, secure home for them. And so Ruth's family had a unity that was palpable. She and Billy would develop this same unity for her family. So here in Philippians, we are talking about unity. Next, he speaks of encouragement. If there is any encouragement in Christ, the encouragement in Christ is found in his sacrifice on the cross. I don't know about you, but when I hear Ruth's family of being missionaries in an atmosphere such as that, it brings me courage. I mean, yeah, you feel scared for her, but she wasn't scared. She still felt like China was her home. So she had great courage, and it gives me great courage. to know that they were making an impact for the kingdom like that, in a situation such as that. But through all of that turmoil, Ruth would grow to be an amazing woman. How many of you know that when there's pressure, something beautiful comes out of that moment? How much more can I live a life that shows Christ to people around me? How important it is, church, that we shine as lights in the darkness, just as Billy Graham did, just as Ruth did, so that we can be an example of unity to those around us, so that we can live a life of encouragement to one another, to help one another in this life. Jesus is even greater measure, fills us with courage. If he could endure the cross for us, and he fills us with the Holy Spirit to live Christian lives, then I am full of confidence that my life can be lived for him. Through Christ, all things are possible. We can do it. So Ruth Graham lived a sacrificial life. For 6 months, 6 months, her husband would go away on these crusades and not come home. She was raising, altogether she raised 5 children. It was not an easy job. Basically, she was operating as a single mom. Although Billy was away for long periods of time, they had a strong commitment. Can you imagine? I mean, that commitment probably was rocked a few times. But guess what? They kept that strong unity, that strong commitment to one another. Although Billy was away for long periods of time, they still had the strong commitment to one another. And when they were together, Ruth had a strong way with her husband. Sometimes this love and fellowship of the Spirit includes nudges and even kicks, right? Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us a little nudge, and sometimes he just gives us a great big kick. All right? So here's an example of that. In the Democratic Convention in 1964, they were dining with President Johnson. And the president asked Billy, "Who do you think I should take for a running mate?" Before Billy could answer, "Ow," Ruth says, "I kicked him under the table." "Why'd you kick me?" he asked. "Because you are supposed to limit your advice to moral and spiritual issues and stay out of politics." So Ruth, with a nudge of the Spirit, or should we say a kick, helped keep her husband out of politics. And with that, he became a spiritual leader for the White House. And that just warmed my heart, because I look at our world and I look at the church and I think we could be so much more like Billy Graham if we would keep politics out of it. And so he became well known as a counselor, a mentor to many presidents. And if it were not for Ruth, if it were not for his wife giving him that kick, he might not have had that influence. Although Ruth was not afraid to confront even the most powerful, in front of the most powerful people, she was still a mother of love. She was still someone that showed affection and compassion. Ruth Graham at first felt called to be a missionary. Did you know that? At first, she wanted to be a missionary to Tibet. And she knew she was called into ministry, and she thought she would be single for all of her life. I don't know many of us ladies that one day say, I just want to live a single life and never get married. Most little girls dream about their wedding day, you know? But Ruth, she wanted to be a single lady and be a missionary. So although she was in college, supposedly a confirmed spinster, at the age of 17, she wrote this: "If I marry, he must be so tall when he is on his knees, as one has said, he reaches all the way to heaven. His shoulders must be broad enough to bear the burden of a family. His lips must be strong enough to smile, firm enough to say no, and tender enough to kiss. His love must be so deep that it takes its stand in Christ, and so wide that it takes in the whole world. He must be big enough to be gentle and great enough to be thoughtful. His arms must be strong enough to carry a little child." Her prayer was not only poetic, it was prophetic. But it is a strong reminder, too, here, that we should pray for our spouses. If we are single, if we don't have any man in our life, we should pray and seek the Lord. Before Ruth was a mom, before Ruth was a spouse, she was one who had a heart for God, and she prayed for a humble man to enter her life, humble enough to be a man that prays on his knees. Did you know that Billy Graham prayed an hour a day? I thought, ooh, if we would all do that, how much more would we change our community as a church? She prays for a humble man that loves Jesus so much that his love becomes so deep that it takes its stand in Christ, and so wide that it takes the whole world. Did Billy Graham just preach in the United States? No, he preached around the whole world. Amazing. Little did Ruth know that she was praying for a life partner that would minister around the world. She prayed this prayer in faith, and it was answered. Ruth didn't just pray for a humble man. She was a humble woman. As Paul encourages us all, we're going to move on to verses 3 and 4. And here we're going to talk about humility. So my first point was unity, and now humility. "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." So humility of mind. Humility is not just being lowly in confidence. For in the same breath, Paul asks the church to consider others better. He wants the church to acknowledge their position as children of God. A good example throughout Scripture, again, a metaphor, is marriage. When we get married, life is no longer just about our hopes and dreams, right? A couple of you may have to keep each other's needs above your own. As a couple, you might have to keep your needs above. Right? Both have to consider, oh, what does he want to do? Oh, what does she want to do? And come together. Unity is what God intended in marriage. And so it is the same with the body of Christ. We are to know our worth, know we are deeply loved by our Maker, and allow his love to guide us to live gallantly. Know you are deeply loved by your Maker. Let that push you through the day. Let that give you excitement when you wake up in the morning, so that we can live with unity and humility as the body of Christ. And so once that love has taken hold of our will, our emotions, it becomes natural. As Paul states here, we are to regard one another more important. We are not to focus on our own personal needs, but others' interests. And here I'm not just talking about the poor and those outside of the church. I'm talking about us, the body of Christ, right? Paul was talking to a church. He was saying, hey, church, this is what you need to do. And guess what? In turn, when you are unified, when you are humble, when you think of each other above yourself within the church, you're going to shine. You're going to shine like bright lights to those around you. And others are going to say, I want in. I want to know about this Jesus. Paul is not asking for uniformity of opinion. Instead, he is asking for a unified sentiment of love. He asked them to strive for an inner sentiment for one another that is full of love, as well as reflecting God's love. Harmony and unity can still be achieved while challenging one another to live the mission God has for us. You know, sometimes the mission of God is not easy. Look at Ruth's parents. Their life was not easy. Living in China where they were unwanted. But they still went. They still did God's will. So I wanted to share another example. An example that is found in the Graham home that took place in January 1943. It was when Billy was accepted a call, I don't know if you know this, as a pastor. He decided to be the pastor of Western Springs Baptist Church, and it was only 20 miles from Wheaton where they were going to college. He didn't ask his wife to be what she thought about the idea, but guess what? That didn't stop her from giving her opinion. And so it was a lesson for Billy Graham that he should listen to his wife. Later, under pressure to run for political office, he heeded her advice because she felt that if you take this pastor position, it's going to deter you from your call. You're called to be an evangelist. And so she said to him, because there was somebody that came to her and said, oh, Billy, you should run for president. You should run for president. And Billy was thinking about it. And his wife said, no. And this is what she said. When God calls you to be an evangelist, you don't stoop to be a president. Because what is a higher calling than the call of God to be an evangelist? Billy was not accustomed to strong-willed women. Billy was brought up in a home where women didn't question men, right? But Ruth recalled, while in the Bell House, that's all we did, all right? So in her home, her family, they always gave opinions, right? Because in Ruth's family, there was all these girls. But in Billy's house, the women didn't give her opinion, right? So different cultures coming together. And so Billy actually, when Billy and Ruth, they had three girls first. Can you imagine? So he probably had to hear lots of opinions. So Ruth Graham, their second daughter, my daddy didn't have to seek my mother's advice to get it. I remember a time she told him fussing at her because he just didn't want her opinion. He does not like opinionated women, and he had a house full of them. It takes a while for a man who's been living independently to take on his partner and consult her. I think in some of those stories, Daddy was just learning to be a husband. Today, he would not only consult her opinion, he would respect it, honor it, and listen to her. But I want you to understand, too, because there are a lot of cultures where you listen to your husband. And I think that's very important still. But you got to understand, Ruth was a woman that was always on her knees. Her daughter said that she would wake up and see her mother studying. So she would wake up and pray, and she would study the Bible in Greek and Hebrew every morning. So she was not a woman that didn't know the Bible. She knew the Bible. And you know, they said she didn't always quote the Bible, but she lived it. She didn't always preach what the Bible said, but she lived it. So guys, be encouraged. It takes time to learn how to be a good spouse. Ruth was honest, and she was certain of her mission. And she was not afraid, to inform Billy time and time again. Yet in humility, Ruth didn't complain about her life. She didn't complain about staying behind. Ruth strived to make her home a shelter for Billy when he was traveling. When their home was overrun with curious tourists, she took matters into her own hands. And she actually bought land. She went to the bank, bought land, got a loan, and made what was now called Little Piney Cove. And it's near the mountains in North Carolina. And she constructed her home out of old log cabin timber. I thought that was very interesting. She was innovative. She was assertive. She also raised 5 spirited children who were not always angels, as some might have thought, and helped her aging parents, because after they were missionaries, they moved close by her when they knew that Billy would be away, which is awesome to have your parents near you. And so rearing children when their father was away for months at a time proved challenging. When asked how she managed, she merely replied, "On my knees." Motherhood is a selfless act. It's not something that is easy, but it is better when we are on our knees. I think it could be defined by our verse today, found in Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look at your own personal interests, but the interest of others. Guys, that's our mom right there. Most moms think of others. Now, I know there are different stories out there, and there are some that aren't always like that. But God has put in a woman a nurturing ability. Unlike sometimes husbands, right? Yes, husbands nurture, but when the baby gets hurt, who do they run to usually? They run to mommy. And so, Billy would say this about parenting. Whenever I get home, I got a crash course in the agony and ecstasy of parenting. If Ruth had not been convinced that God had called her to fulfill that side of our partnership and had not restored constantly to God's word for instruction and his grace for strength, I don't see how she would have survived. Ruth believed in the evangelistic mission, but she also believed in their mission at home. Ruth knew her calling. She knew she was called to be the wife of Billy Graham. She knew she was called to be the mom of Billy Graham's children. But she knew in her heart, too, that she was loved by her Maker. And she let that shine forth. And so her daughter Anne would say, she has the heart of an evangelist. Although her gift is often overshadowed by my father's, mother's gift is exercising effectively on behalf of individuals. At her deepest core is the desire for individuals to know Christ in a personal and intimate way. My father preaches sermons to masses reaching thousands. My mother talks to individuals, loving them one by one. You know, at times they said that Ruth felt lonely. And I'm sure she struggled at times, you know, not having her husband near her. But at those times she would pray and she would seek the Lord. And it's evident in her poetry. You know, this book shows her struggles, shows her loneliness. But she probably felt like the Lord in some ways was her husband and was her comfort and the one that helped her day to day with her children. I'm sure she had a great scenery, though, to live near the mountains in North Carolina and to just be able to see that beauty every day. And so let's go back to marriage. Unity in marriage doesn't mean we have the same job. Billy and Ruth were united in marriage. I'm not saying that we should all have the same kind of marriage, okay? Or even that your mom is exactly like Ruth. But I will say that she was still a strong woman of God. She was a woman who was influenced her husband, her children, and even people of power within the world. Yet I don't think that she was too concerned about that. Not that she didn't love them, not that she didn't care for them. But in her mind, and she said this in an interview I watched, in her mind she had an audience of one. I loved that. Sometimes we have to forget the crowds. Sometimes we have to forget even our other half and our children. And we need to remember, as women of God, we have an audience of one. And that's the Lord. And what's most important is that we're pleasing Him. So in making this book for Ruth Maid, that I'm going to put in your hands today, there was some turmoil. And so what happened was Ruth decided that she, or Ruth's daughter Gigi, decided that she wanted to not only have this book published, but she wanted to do a big theater production for the book. And so her daughter Gigi put all this together, and Gigi was her firstborn. And she put this book together, and her father called her. And she said, what if nobody comes? Do you really want to embarrass your mother? And so she felt discouraged as a daughter, as even a mom herself. Oh, why am I doing this? Even her brother, Franklin, called and said, maybe you should just cancel this. You know, why are you doing it? Nobody needs to be embarrassed, you know, because her mom was a quiet person, right? She lived quietly. And so Gigi just felt stressed. She had to go speak, and she had a speaking engagement that day, and she was just upset. She didn't know what to do. And what do we do when we're upset as ladies? What do? We pray. Sometimes we call our moms, right? If they're still around, we call our moms. And one day I know I will miss that. And so she called her mother, and this is what her mother said. "Hello, honey, it's mother. Where are you?" I asked. "I sneaked off to my room to call you," she replied. "I don't know what has gotten into Daddy and Franklin. Why do you think this event is going to embarrass anyone?" "Mother, I don't know, but if you want, I can cancel it." "Heavens no, honey," came her quick reply. Sometimes we just need that encouragement from our moms. And our moms can provide that. Whether you have a mother, whether you have a spiritual mom, they can provide that encouragement. And Gigi needed that encouragement. Because this production was not just going to put a book in people's hands, right? It was going to bring encouragement to live a life for Christ. And if you have the right motives, it will all work out. So how did it go? Well, the theater was packed. And everyone's delight, it was a huge success. Several times, Gigi said that Billy squeezed her hand. And he was very moved. One skeptical friend came up after and said this to Gigi. Gigi, I fell in love with your mother the moment I met her 50 years ago. But tonight, I fell in love with her all over again. It is Christ in the precious woman, Ruth Graham, that draws us to her and her husband, who made such a huge impact in the world. They both lived a life of sacrifice so that the world would know about Jesus. You know, I was thinking about that when she said that her daddy was squeezing her hand. And I just remember as a child, you know, we would sit in church as kids. And my family, they're very much handholders. And my dad, he used to hold my hand and he would squeeze it, you know. And as a kid, you know, you're always like playing with your parents' hand or playing with something because you're bored in church, you know. And so I can still recall him squeezing my hand and how comforting that was. And I can imagine Gigi and all of her frantic worrying. What is this going to work out? Am I going to honor my mother? And then feeling that squeeze probably brought that calm in the midst of it, you know? And sometimes we need that squeeze maybe from our Father, from God. It's okay. I'm here for you. Be at peace. And as moms, we need that from day to day because sometimes life is so chaotic. So humility and unity we talked about today. So humility and unity doesn't mean we sit back and try to conform to one another, right? We don't just do everything exactly alike. Ruth, she may have been small, feisty, humorous, intelligent, deeply spiritual pilgrim of faith. And I pray as you honor your mom today, your grandma, or maybe a significant woman in your life, I pray this scripture found in Philippians would ring in your hearts and minds. Honor, God honors your sacrifice. He honors your prayers. We as the body of Christ can give so much and love so much when we walk together in unity. And so again, I wanted to read in closing this scripture. Now if I can just get to it. Gotta love technology. Okay, I'm not going to find it. So again, a mother, what is a mother? She is selfless. She is strong. And she is somebody that is united with her spouse to help raise the children. And although Billy Graham wasn't there always, he did have input. He did help. And so I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all you ladies and that you're appreciated through this book. I hope that you enjoy it. I think it's a beautiful book. I read through it, and it's an easy read. And it's obviously beautifully illustrated. And I hope it brings encouragement as a mom, as a wife, as a woman. And I hope that you feel honored today. So happy Mother's Day. And so let's end in prayer. What I wanted to do for prayer is I wanted to see if any of you knew somebody. Because, you know, Mother's Day is not always a happy day for some ladies. And I still want to rejoice in us as mothers, you know, because it is a very wonderful day to celebrate. But I wanted to know if there's any of you that know somebody or somebody that has experienced the loss of a child, has experienced maybe a miscarriage, or know somebody that has. I wanted you to stand, and I wanted to have us as a church to come around you and to pray for that person or for you to experience the complete healing and just presence of the Lord. So If there is anybody here, if you would stand, I would love to pray with you and pray for you. So, all right. So, church, if we could come over and pray, that would be great. Or if you could extend a hand.
Many, one, two, many.
Pray. Father, I thank you so much for your love, for your compassion, for your great grace. God, you see the hurt and the pain of these individuals that have felt loss, that have felt the loss of a miscarriage or a child. Whatever they have gone through, Jesus, you know their hearts. You know their pain. And I pray you would reach in and touch and bring complete healing. Holy Spirit, that you would rain down and there would just be a transformation in their life. God, I pray that if they are still seeking to become mothers, that God, that you would make their womb fruitful, that you would bring life in Jesus' name, and that, Lord, you would be honored and glorified through this situation, God, that they would see a great testimony and that they would share with others and others would be encouraged and many great things would happen from this, O Lord, that their children would be children of the Most High and that they would love you, Lord, with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we just thank you for this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you guys. I'm so glad I got to share with you today the story of Ruth and just share with you from Philippians. And if you mothers want to come forward, you can come forward and get a book and some yummy chocolate.